job on that. And he is for sale, according to Nancy. Is that what she was saying? That t-shirts for sale or for ears for sale? T-shirts. Okay. I got that mixed up. I want to say something about what Chris did a while ago. Whether you realize it or not, that word was prophetic. That's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself, is through a prophetic word. And when He said that, God says, I am the constant, you are the variable. That's powerful. That's so significant. When you're perfect, you don't need to change. When you're not perfect, you need to change. And stubbornness is not willing to change. And sometimes we get caught up into that because we think we know better than God. That shows that there's some problems with our inner circle. And there's a lot of folks that have problems with that inner circle. And we're talking about relationships and we're talking about circles. I see a bullseye target and circles out around it, and it starts with the core. The bullseye is the core. That's you and God. And we spent several weeks talking about that relationship with you and God. And one of the first things that we talked about is learning to live loved. If we never get that down, that we are unconditionally loved by God, then that's going to affect every other relationship that we're able to have. It all comes out of the center of us, because it says, above all that you guard, guard your heart, for out of it flow the springs of life. You live life out of your heart. You live life out of what you believe in your heart. In fact, what you believe in your heart is your faith. And if you're believing the wrong things, guess what? Your expression of faith will be wrong. And it will affect everything else in your life. It can affect your health. It'll affect your spirituality. It'll affect your relationships. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect the whole way that you see life. So it's so important that we get that inner circle down. First of all, we talked about learning to live loved. Learning how to live loved. That God loves us unconditionally. Number two, that we choose to love God. We don't always feel love for God, but we choose to love God. Because the commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a big task. That's something that we have to work on all the time. And knowing that He loves us unconditionally makes that a little bit easier for us to do. And then we talked about living in fellowship with God and what that looks like. Because what good is a relationship if there's no interaction? It's the interaction where the fruit begins to happen. And everything begins to flow out of our fellowship with God. See, you can be saved and really fruitless. Can Christians be fruitless? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them that are. Maybe the majority, I don't know. I'm not the judge. But it seems like that a lot of people, that they want to get we call it getting your ticket punched, getting your fire insurance. You get saved so you won't go to hell, and then you say, basically, God, leave me alone. I want a relationship, but I don't want anything to do with you. Well, you can choose to live that way if you want to. But you will be the big loser. You'll be the uber loser if you do that. Have you ever seen a loser? Then there's an uber loser. Well, you'll be the uber loser if you do that. So we need to learn to develop this relationship and this fellowship with God, that it's an ongoing thing. And out of it, we'll set the criteria and we'll set the boundaries of all of our other relationships. Now today we're going to talk about human relationships, and we're going to talk about the most important relationship, human relationship that you can possibly have, and that's with your spouse. That has to be in human relationships, number one. I'm going to kick this off with a little bit of humor. But how many of you know sometimes in humor there's an element of truth? And see what you think about this. It says, like good wine, marriage gets better with age, once you learn to keep a cork in it. That's good advice to all of us guys. How many times do we guys talk way beyond what we should have said? We say one thing too much and then there it is. That's good. That's good advice. Here's another quote. Love is blind, but marriage restores its sight. You ever seen that happen? Love is blind, but marriage restores its sight. You've seen somebody fall in love with somebody, and boy, they don't see any of their faults. They don't see any of their failures. They go through all of the red lights because they're so in love. And then they get married, and then guess what? Sight turns back. And all of a sudden, you see everything. Whoa. Then you think, what did I do? Here's a good one. Men who have pierced ears are prepared better for marriage. See, they have experienced pain and they have bought jewelry. That's pretty good, yeah. Here's one from that great theologian, Cher. The trouble with women is that they get all excited about nothing and then marry him. Poor Sonny. Wow. Okay. You ever wondered about the difference in men and women? Well, here it is. I'm going to tell you. Women hope that men will change after they marry, but they don't. Men hope women won't change after marriage, but they do. And then here is the best one. And it's by Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's wife. And it says, a happy marriage is the union of two good forgivers. How many of you know that marriage is messy? Some of you know it better than others. But if we're going to be successful in marriage, then guess what we're going to have to be able to do? Forgive. You know what? The greatest thing about God in us, that He is so willing to forgive us. Should that not be one of the things that flows out of our heart into all of our relationships that we have? How much in this world do we see people who get involved in grudges and hate and resentment and unforgiveness? And I'll tell you, they're not living out of their core. They're not living out of their proper relationship with God. Because God is a forgiver, and if we're in relationship with God, guess what we're going to be? We're going to be forgiving. Is forgiveness hard sometimes? It is. You know why? Because it's painful. Sometimes people hurt us. Sometimes our spouse hurts us. But guess what? If we're going to have good marriages, we're going to have to learn how to forgive. Can you say amen? If you can't say amen, say oh me. It's true anyway. Okay, we're going to, let's get into this. I want to start it out humorous because it's going to get heavy revy here in a minute, okay? I want to start it off with a quote that I've been using. You're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. Did you know this is true in your marriage also? You're either green and growing in your marriage or you're ripe and rotting. Now some of you are sitting here thinking today, I'm not married, so I don't need to listen. You need to listen the most. If you've never been married, you need to listen. Isn't it amazing when you're young and single, you think you know everything about relationships? Could you ever learn some stuff by listening? If you're single, maybe you've been through a divorce. You know, we have lots of that in our society today. Over 50% of marriages end in the divorce. So, guess what? You need to listen and learn about marriage if you ever hope to be married again. You say, well, I don't ever hope to get married again. Well, then you need to learn and listen so you can help somebody that's thinking about it. We need to know about relationships. Relationships are relationships, and we can learn a lot about relationships. The greatest relationship, the first relationship outside of the relationship of God and man, was Adam and Eve. And they became husband and wife. So that is primary relationship that's going on in the Bible. In fact, the marriage came before the church. The marriage came before the church. Can I? And I'll say this. The marriage is more important than the church. Because the marriage will affect the church. See, it should be a thing that the church is affecting marriage and marriage is affecting the church. But we need marriages. We need strong marriages. We need real marriages. And we need, listen, we need marriages. Okay, God blesses marriage. Everybody say marriage. You know, can I say there's a difference? And I don't know who I'm hitting and who I'm not. I don't care. I love you all. I love you no matter what you do. You can be an outright heathen and I still have to love you. I still have to accept you. You have the right to make any decision that you want to make. But listen, you'll live with the consequence of it. But let God blesses marriage, not cohabitation. He blesses marriage. And that's what He has blessed is marriage. You can make all kinds of excuses, but listen, God blesses marriage. It's the first institution. It came before the church. It came before anything else. God loves it and God hates divorce. You know why God hates divorce? Because it tears everything up. It hurts the people, first of all, who get divorced. If there are children involved in it, it rips them apart. See, the design of the home is that a father and a mother is going to raise children together and they're going to both play a role in their development. But if one is not there, either physically or emotionally, then guess what? The children don't get what they need. We need strong marriages in America. We need strong marriages in the church. But it starts with that one-on-one relationship with the man and the woman. Isn't that right? The woman? The man and the woman. It starts that way. And we're talking about the law of capacity that you can only receive from God in direct correlation to your capacity to receive from God. Is that true with your marriage? Absolutely. Should marriages be growing? They're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. Let me ask you a question today. You don't answer out loud. Just answer in your own heart. You might get smacked if you're sitting next to your spouse. And I don't mean kissed either. Okay. Is your marriage green and growing or is it ripe and rotting? You say, well, I'm still married, so it must be green and growing. Not necessarily. Is it producing fruit? Is it a fruitful marriage or are you just putting up with each other? Just living in the same house? If we're going to get this circle stuff down right, the first place after our relationship with God that we have to strengthen is that relationship between husband and wife. That's the important one. We've got to get that one. Because if we can get that one, then when you bring kids into that situation, it's dynamite. But when that's ripped apart, it affects the man and the woman. It affects the kids. It affects the extended family. You know, it affects the in-laws. Because in-laws share grandchildren. And all of a sudden the marriage is ripped apart. What happens to the in-laws? They're pulled in two different directions. And maybe at one time they were close, but because of the divorce, everything is estranged. It's not a good situation. You say, well, I'm right in the middle of that right now. Are you kicking me? No, I'm not kicking you. I'm saying we need to learn some things about relationships so we don't repeat mistakes. I deal with people. I've been married one time, once. But I deal with people who've been married 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, a bunches of time. And I'm not condemning that. I don't think God hates divorce, but there's a reason He hates divorce. And if you've been married 4 or 5 times, you hate divorce too. You just keep making the same mistake over and over. Don't you think it would behoove yourself to increase your capacity for relationships so that you don't repeat that mistake the next time? So this is not about condemnation. This is about learning. This is about changing our lives. Remember, God is the constant. We are the variable. We're the ones that need to change. See, doing the same thing over and over and over again and getting the same results is dysfunctional. Well, if I keep trying, maybe I'll eventually get it right. Not unless you change. Not unless some things change in your life. And you are the instigator of the change. See, what's the most natural thing for me to do? See, Kathy's gone home. I can talk more open than I did in the first service because she was here. The easiest thing for me to do is want to change her. It's not my job to change her. Look at your spouse and say, my job's not to change you. Y'all chickens. Y'all a bunch of chickens. Your job's to change you. I cannot change that redhead. Let me tell you, I cannot change that redhead. I can say, now woman, the Bible says, and she said, I'll Bible you. You know, that's not my job. We read the Bible, and that's, you know, our favorite verse, a man's favorite verse. Woman, the Bible says, what? Submit. That's not what it says. It says submit. You need to read your Bible, bro. Yeah, he misquoted, didn't he? But you know who that's addressed to? That's not addressed to the man. That's addressed to the woman. We don't like that other part, guys, that says, husbands, agape your wives and lay down your life as Christ did for the church. That means die. Can you look at your wife and say, I'm supposed to die for you? That don't mean physically. It might mean it, but that's not exactly what it means. You got to die to yourself. So we're going to get into this. I want to, before I get into this, I want to read the lyrics of a song that was popular in 1977. How many of you were around in 1977? Ooh, dude. Okay, good. How many of you remember a fellow by the name of Don Francisco? Anybody remember Don? Not as many. Well, he wrote a song that really goes along with this whole circle series, and it's called the Steeple Song. And it's kind of pointed towards Christians and our attitude towards church and life and family. And I want to read the lyrics to you because I think this is powerful. And it says, I don't care how many buses you own or the size of your sanctuary. It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is if it's sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lot or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor's supercharged and your programs are always new. What you need is love and truth, and men are going to come to you. It doesn't matter that you know the Bible if it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? And what about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widow and the orphan cry alone? I don't care if you pray for miracles. I don't care if you speak with tongues. I don't care if you said you love me in every song you've sung. It doesn't matter that your sacrifice of praise is loud enough to raise the dead. The thing I need to ask you is, have you done the things I said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? And what about the others? Are you living as a servant for your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widows and orphans cry alone? Lord, when were you a prisoner that we did not come to you? And when was it that we saw you sick that we didn't follow through? Every time you turned your head and pretended not to see, when you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. Do you love your life, your wife? With all you got inside you, are you laying down your life? And what about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make the poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widows and the orphans cry alone? See, what we're talking about is relationships. How we order our lives around the circles in our life. Living out of the core. Loving God. Loving my spouse. Loving my family. Loving my fellow man. Loving the stranger. Having responsibility for everybody who comes within the scope of my circle. Every one of you today are in my circle. Every one of you are in my circle right now. I have a responsibility for a relationship with you in some way to plant some seed in you. And right now, it's to cause you to begin to look at your circles. I cannot choose what's important for you. You know, if you just want to get your ticket punched so you'll miss hell, you can choose to do that. And I cannot make you change. I can't. I would if I could, but I can't, so I ain't. Guess what I can do? I can challenge you. I can put it out there. But bottom line, God's the constant. You're the variable. If change is going to happen, it's going to have to start with you. In your marriage relationship, do changes need to take place? Is anybody here had just the ideal, perfect marriage? I'm not talking about if you're single. Okay, you say, that's perfect, I'm single. No, none of us have a perfect marriage. Now, my wife would raise her hand if she was here. Not. Have you ever thought about this? And we're talking about relationships. Why is it that we are the rudest to the people that we love the most? Who is it that we should be living the most godly life in front of? Have you seen people who go to church and they smile and they're kind to everybody? But what happens when you go home? What happens when you go home and you're with your spouse and you're unkind and you're cruel and you're abusive? What happens when you're gripey and complaining to your spouse? You go to church and you put this, and you go home and you're, can I get a witness today? You know what the problem? The problem is a core problem. The problem goes back to our inner core relationship that we have with God. Why do we think that we have a right to treat our spouse any less than we would a person, a stranger? Why do we think that we have a right to treat our spouse any different than we treat God or Christ in our life? See, I told you it's going to get quiet in here. You want me to go back and read some more funny stuff? Yeah, go back to the funny stuff. See, my first obligation, if I'm going to speak with power, if I'm going to speak with the anointing, if I'm going to have influence, my influence needs to begin in my marriage. It needs to begin with my marriage. It needs to flow out with my family. See, you're either green and growing or ripe and rotting. Too many of us are ripe and rotting, and we need to get back to green and growing. Now, we're going to look at some things here today. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, some of you guys think, yeah, we're going to get into it now, that submit stuff. Yep, that's first place we're going is submit. Everybody say submit. But I'm not going to start where you think I'm going to start. I'm going to back up one verse. This is written to the body of Christ. But everything that goes to the body of Christ also goes to the home. The closest thing to our relationship with God and us in the church and us in Christ is marriage. In fact, there is that example that is used a whole lot. In fact, we are called the bride of Christ, aren't we? Okay? So the way that Christ relates to us is a picture of what ought to be happening in marriage. But the first thing it says in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of the reverence of Christ. Now, let me say that another way. Submit to one another out of your interrelationship with Christ, out of your inner circle, submit to one another. Should men submit to their wives? That's a good question. The Bible don't say that. Well, in verse 25 it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now that word is not the erotic word. Now we're good at that erotic stuff. Okay? We're all about that. We know about erotic love and we thrive on that. Okay? But that's not the kind of love it's talking about. It's talking about the unconditional love. That means loving when they're unlovely. How does God love you? He loves you when you're unlovely. He loves you if you're in a good mood, bad mood. If you have PMS, had a bad day, a bad hair day. He just loves you. And that says, husbands, that we're to love our wives that way. Let me ask you a question. Is that not submission? Did Jesus submit to God? Are y'all out there? Y'all just sitting there looking at me like a dog at a new gate. Did Jesus submit to God? Okay. Yes. This is easy. Let me give you the answer key. All of it's yes, okay? Here's the answer key. It's all yes. Did Jesus submit to man? Yes. How did he do that? First of all, he became a man. He became like a man. He walked with man. And then he died, laid down his life for man. He submitted himself to mankind so that he could bring mankind up. Should not we as husbands submit to our wives in that way so that we can enhance their beauty and their... See, we're supposed to be the leaders. We're supposed to be the spiritual leaders. But how do we do that? Through submission. Do you know how I'm supposed to lead this church? Not by being a dictator, but by submitting to you. I'm supposed to love you unconditionally. I have to love you when you're ugly. I have to love you when you're not here. I have to love you when you don't always say nice things about me. I have to love you. That's the way we're supposed to love our spouse. And then it says, woman. It says, wives. It didn't say woman. But I just got a little bit of that chauvinism about me. Wives, submit. You should submit to that kind of love. Let me tell you something. If you don't submit to that, you're nuts. Somebody that's dying for you, that's sacrificing for you, you ought to submit to that. And then it talks about the third thing is that the wife should respect her husband. And I can just hear it. Well, I'll respect him when he earns it. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you have to earn the love? Does God make you earn His love? You can't earn His love. It's unconditional. And men are commanded to love their wives unconditionally. Wives should respect their husbands unconditionally. Now, I'm of the opinion that what is good for the female is good for the male. So I really think that wives should agape their husbands as well as husbands agape their wives. I think men should submit to their wives as well as wives submit to their husbands. And I think that men should respect their wives and wives respect their husbands. But I think that that one of the reasons that it says husbands love your wife is because we struggle with that a little bit sometimes. Girls, you're not always easy to love. Now you blame it on bad hair day, PMS, the kids, the job. You're not always easy to love, but we gotta love you. I think that men struggle with that part. We don't struggle with the erotic part. We struggle with the laying down our lives part. And sometimes I think women struggle with the respect part because sometimes we're not very respectable. Sometimes we're not very Christ-like. See, what's wrong with this picture? I come to church and I'm this great preacher and I go home and I'm cussing out my wife. Or I'm smacking her around. Or I'm being cruel to her. See, what's wrong with that? Is that going to affect the anointing? In fact, if I'm doing that at the house, I don't have any right to stand up here and preach and teach to you. If she is not the most important human being in my life, then I got problems. I will never be able to have the kind of relationship with other people until I learn to have the relationship that I was designed to have with my spouse. Who is it that I'm one with? It's her. We're one flesh. If I'm having trouble with her and she's having trouble with me, we're having trouble with God. And we need to go back to our core. And both of us need to work on that so that when we come together, that we can love each other unconditionally, we can submit to one another in the love of Christ, and we can respect one another. And it be a green and growing relationship, not a ripe and rotting. God wants better things for you than just putting up with each other. And I really think that it all comes down to this. And I'm fixing to hit you. Are you ready to get smacked? Okay, here it comes. You need to invest in what's important. And if you say you love God and don't spend time with Him, you're a liar. Is that pretty plain? I could put it plainer. If you say you love God and you ignore Him, you're not telling the truth. You're not being truthful with yourself. You're fooling yourself. You do what's important. Look at your life. You ought to just take a journal and write down how you spend your day. And then look at it and you can see what's important in your life. If God time is not in there, then God's not where He needs to be. If spouse time is not in there, something's wrong. If kid time is not in there, you say, Pastor, you're talking about a disciplined lifestyle. Yes. What are we called to make? Go into the world and make what? Disciples. Can you be a disciple without discipline in your life? That means you have to set some priorities. You have to decide what's important. And then you have to invest in what is important. There are things that you have to say no to because there are things that you need to say yes to. And if you're saying yes to everything, then you're saying no to some things that are important. Well, I don't have time to pray. If God's first place in your life, you do. I don't have time to spend time with my spouse. If she's important, if they're important, you make time. If not, you make excuses. So here's what I'm challenging you to do. Invest in your marriage. Now, if you're not married, you don't need to be doing this. You need to be working on you. The best way to find the right person for you to marry is to become the right person. You ain't going to find them at the Moose. And you may not find them at church. Not everybody goes to church as marriage material. All their Christians. No. Yeah. No, you need to work on you. It's the law of attraction. You attract to you what you are. Well, I only attract trash. I only attract dysfunctional people. Guess what? Like attracts like. So do you need to work on you? Okay. Hey, this is real stuff. I'm tired of seeing marriages break up. I'm tired of seeing kids that are tormented and dysfunctional because their parents are. God hates it. God loves people, but He hates that. Man, I didn't get anywhere in this I needed to, but here's the challenge, and we're going to end with this because it's 12:02. I want you to do something. So I ain't got time. You need to make time. If you're married, even if you're not married, I got a book. I'm going to challenge you to read this book. It's called Hedges. Let me get the exact. Hedges. Where's that at? Hedges. Loving your marriage enough to protect it. Hedges. Loving your marriage enough to protect it. Now don't raise your hand. If you've been divorced before, were you cheated on? Did you cheat? This is what this deals with. How to make your marriage affair proof. Even if you're in a good marriage, you need to make your marriage affair proof. And it's called Hedges. Loving your marriage enough to protect it. The second thing is this. Now, and I'm going to preface this by saying this. Anytime that you offer a marriage deal, basically the people who come who are the ones who have good marriages. People who are struggling in their relationships have a tendency not to come. Why? Because they know that they're going to have to change some things. And we don't like change. Okay? So we're going to do a love and respect seminar. It's going to be coming up this month. We'll give you some dates. But I'm going to challenge you, whether you're married or single, to come to the Love and Respect Conference that we're going to be doing. It'll be a Friday night and a Saturday. We'll even feed you. And then in the fall, we're going to do a Love and Respect Life Group. If you want your marriage, if you need a green and growing marriage, then guess what? You need to be investing in marriage. There are things that you need to learn about relationships to make your marriage strong. Because it's not going to happen by itself. Things that are left unattended atrophy. They don't get better, they get worse. If you don't mow your yard, it don't get better. It don't mow itself. If you don't clean your swimming pool, it don't get better. It goes downhill. What you don't pay attention to, something else will take it over. If you don't pay attention to your spouse, somebody else will. Dude, we need to invest in our marriages. Amen? Okay. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. If you're not married, don't be in a hurry to get married. Please don't be in a hurry to get married. Take it. Are you ready? Take it slow. Keep it cool. Go slow. You don't need to make another mistake. This man is not the man of your dreams. I don't care who he is. This woman, I don't care what she looks like. I don't know who you think's all that. But she ain't all that. She's a flawed human being. Go slow. Learn. You're going to have to mesh this together. There's issues you need to work on. Keep sex out of it. Sex complicates everything. It does. Sex is not intended for dating. Sex is the last thing that you ought to do after. Well, the first thing you ought to do after you get married is that part. But it ought to be the last thing that you do, because you mess it up. When you start having sex outside of marriage, you mess it up. Because that just adds a whole new dimension of expectation and things that you just, it hurts the relationship. Amen. Okay. Prayer team, would you come? Get me out of this. Where's my prayer team at? If you have prayer needs today, I'm going to pray before I walk off the stage and Mark's coming to dismiss the service. But we want to open this up. If you have any kind of need that you need to pray about today, if you need to make Jesus Lord, if you need to get right with God, if you want to get saved, come see this man right here. He won't save you, but he'll point you to the Savior. He's good at that. So, if you need salvation today, come and see Jerry. If you need prayer for something else, come to one of these others, and they're going to pray with you. We're going to take time. I went a little bit over today, but just forgive me. You needed talking to today about this, because we need strong marriages. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the institution of marriage. Thank you for the spouse that you have put in our lives. And Lord, may we all, if we're not, have a green and growing relationship with our spouse. I thank you and I praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen.